From the KERA newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, an iconic Fort Worth jazz musician who changed the genre with his saxophone. We'll start tonight with the latest news in the McKinney saga. Eric Casebolt, the former McKinney police corporal who came under fire for pushing a black female teenager to the ground and drawing his gun at a pool party, has hired a Dallas criminal defense attorney. The Dallas Morning News reports that Casebolt has retained Tom Mills of the Dallas law firm Mills & Williams, LLP. Mills told the Morning News that he was hired as a precautionary measure and that there are more circumstances from that day that need to be presented to the police, district attorney, and the public. He also said he didn't believe charges were imminent. Casebolt resigned Tuesday, and on Wednesday, his civil attorney, Jane Bishkin, told reporters that he had responded to two suicide calls prior to the incident at the pool party and that his emotions got the better of him that evening. Today on Think, when a virus is contained, where does it go? Slowly, West Africa is prying itself free from the grip of the Ebola virus. Chris Boyd talked about why it's tough for scientists to track the virus. Once an outbreak ends, with David Quammen, who writes about the topic in the July issue of National Geographic. Think producer Stephen Becker has this recap.
Quammen says that scientists at least have a general idea of where to look for Ebola, the same place any other virus hides out.
Viruses can only replicate in living cells. Viruses are not cellular creatures themselves. They're not even quite alive, depending on how you define life. They can only replicate using the cell machinery of a living cell. That means they've got to abide in another creature, a plant, an animal, a fungus.
Viruses that affect humans, including Ebola, are usually hosted by animals like bats or rodents. And even though the recent Ebola outbreak has been in the news for more than a year, Quammen says it's actually tough for scientists to track it down while it's active.
It's a bad situation for other scientists to come in dressed in their moon suits and start collecting bats and rodents and other creatures and dissecting them and looking for the virus. It's a bad time to do science because there's a public health crisis, because medical help is needed.
There is reason to be optimistic about tracking down Ebola, though. Quammen says the African outbreak generated so much media attention that the scientific community will likely be able to raise the necessary funds to continue hunting the virus. Also, three types of fruit bats are now known to contain both antibodies against Ebola and fragments of Ebola RNA, a building block of the virus.
To find antibodies against Ebola or fragments of Ebola RNA is like finding the footprints of a Yeti in the snow. But to isolate live virus is like finding the foot of a live Yeti in a leg-hold trap. And that hasn't yet been done with Ebola.
Once scientists can actually identify the live Ebola virus in those wild reservoir hosts, they'll have a clearer insight into how human outbreaks begin. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
The jazz world lost a great today. Ornette Coleman grew up poor and fatherless in Fort Worth and was largely self-taught as a jazz player and composer. Yet, he went on to revolutionize the music and became a worldwide icon of experimentation. Coleman died this morning of cardiac arrest at the age of 85. KERA's Jerome Weeks has this remembrance.
John Murphy is chair of UNT's Jazz Studies program. He interviewed Ornette Coleman in the musician's New York Loft apartment during a 2007 jazz education conference.
When I got there, there were a group of students visiting him, and he was letting one of them play his alto sax, mouthpiece, and reed. Saxophone players can attest that this is not something that you do casually, just hand your horn to someone. So he was that open and kind.
That kind of radical openness typified Coleman's music and life. Born in 1930, he heard after-hours music when he was very young, music played in Fort Worth's Greenway Park. In Murphy's 2007 interview, Coleman says when he'd earned enough money shining shoes, his mother bought him a saxophone.
And I took it out and played it exactly the way I'm playing today. I thought it was just a toy. I mean, I didn't think you had to learn music or anything.
Coleman played sax in the band at I.M. Terrell High School, but Coleman told Murphy his real music education took place in Fort Worth's rodeos and jazz and blues clubs out on Jacksboro Highway.
I played with lots of gambling places in Fort Worth, and when the marshal them come in there to chop up the chairs. They hired a band to play so the guys could run in and catch a girl and be dancing, and they wouldn't take them to jail. And I grew up like that, being a front for gambling in the back.
Ted Gioia is a jazz historian who lives in Plano and has written on Coleman's music.
You know, people talk about Ornette as though he was some sort of theoretical person with these theoretical notions, but there's a very human quality to his music, and the first thing that jumps out at you is the sound of the saxophone, and I really think that came out of those days in Fort Worth.
It was in 1959 and 1960 that Coleman recorded albums such as The Shape of Jazz to Come. They set off a revolution because of their dense, unorthodox playing. Many people, including other musicians, thought what became known as free jazz was simply chaos, the way Jackson Pollock's paintings were childish splatters. John Murphy.
When people try to define what free jazz is, they'll say, well, it doesn't use song form, it doesn't use this, it doesn't use that. I think that's misguided. It's more a sense of widening the scope of options.
Coleman's songs may sound wild, but his improvisations often follow traditional chord changes and are powered by a steady rhythm. Still, he often was highly unconventional. For his 1960 album, Free Jazz, he had one quartet play on the right stereo channel and a different quartet play simultaneously on the left channel. Coleman would go on to form an electric jazz funk band called Primetime. He won the Pulitzer Prize with his 2006 live album, Sound Grammar. He won a MacArthur Genius Grant. He returned to Fort Worth in 1986 to play Skies of America with the Fort Worth Symphony, an event captured in the documentary Made in America. Murphy once asked the late Shannon Jackson, Coleman's drummer from Fort Worth, what was Coleman up to in the 70s when he wasn't recording or practicing? He visited strangers in hospitals, Jackson said, people who looked like they needed a visit.
And I think there's a very clear connection between his music and that attitude of being interested in people, being interested in feeling.
Ultimately, Coleman was utterly original by being utterly himself, open. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Tonight brings us partly cloudy skies, low around 75. Tomorrow should be partly sunny with a high near 92. It's 93 degrees in Dallas, 94 in Fort Worth. You can follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.